You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for sportingandnews.com. So if you've been with us for a while, you know how things are going on the show. We've got Experts Edition, full steam ahead here for week 9. We've taken you through the week with Tom Kesnick there with the high stakes takeaways, the roundup Monday coming out of week 8. We had weekly waiver wire with Eric at home of Pro Football Weekly on Tuesday to get you acclimated the pickups of the week. Then we did matchup focus with Jeff Ratcliffe of Pro Football Focus for week 9, looking at all the games, breaking them down in depth. And now we close the week, as we always do, with Tyler Lochner of Pro Football Focus. We'll look at the DFS situations here on Lineup Focus. So we'll close out the week here in style, getting you ready. A little bit of an extended segment this week with Tyler. So a lot of good stuff to talk about during this busy week of buys, but still plenty of games on the main slate. There are 10 games to look at there. We'll wrap around Tyler here with a look at the injuries for week number 9, the initial injury reports there. So we'll dive into that a little bit here so we kind of can see the outlook for the weekend going forward and if there's anything you need to know there. We'll start with the quarterbacks, and Josh Allen, he's not playing, but also Derek Anderson is not playing. He's got a concussion here. So Nathan Peterman is going to be starting against the Bears, and we'll see if Khalil Mack plays. There's some question about him going in this one, but absolutely cannot trust any Bills offense with Peterman starting. So LeSean McCoy, this is a bummer for him as well. This is a pretty good Bears run defense. You can't expect too much of the passing game. So it's going to be really tough here overall for the Bills to produce points, and the Bears are 10-point favorites now in that game as the line has been updated. Now, Cam Newton, there's a little concern when the right shoulder popped up last week, but there was no concern when he lit up the Baltimore Ravens and had another good fantasy day. So Buccaneers, he's going to play in that game. Aaron Rodgers with the knee injury, been limited early in the week. That's kind of the MO, but Patriots shootout, he'll be fine for that one. Deshaun Watson, big game last time, week 8, Thursday night against Miami. Plays in Denver this week. He is fine with the chest injury, getting a little healthier. Didn't get hit or sacked really last week, so that helps to heal him. Now, Ryan Tannehill's already been ruled out here for the game against the Jets. So more Brock Osweiler, and I mentioned Brock Osweiler a little bit, that he's actually a little bit better of a quarterback when blitzed, and the Jets do a lot of blitzing, than Tannehill. And so that could help here with the Dolphins in the passing game this week. Now, Ben Roethlisberger, we're keeping an eye on. He's got the left finger, so that's good. That's an injury, not his throwing hand there, but it could be a little bit of concern there playing this Ravens defense. I think there are a lot of better options if you could go that way, year long or DFS here, that you can look at. So Roethlisberger, I just wouldn't force him in this lineup. There's no need to even go in that direction in this particular week. He didn't practice there, but he should be fine to play later in the week. Now, we look at Alex Collins there at running back on the other side of the game. He's got this foot injury that he's been dealing with, playing through it. His role is kind of locked in here as the base guy that they're looking to get 15 touches a game. Now, Javoris Allen has kind of really faded, prompted them to go trade for Ty Montgomery this week. So Alex Collins, we'll see if that limits him a little bit more in practice. We want to see him get a full practice. It would be nice. Again, really touchdown-dependent guy. Really don't love him this week, but that's the way Collins is. You just play him and hope he scores, and he tends to score quite a bit. And now Buck Allen's not being as much of a factor. He did catch a touchdown last week, but that fades as well. Duke Johnson, the game flow could actually help Duke Johnson against the Chiefs this week. And Nick Chubb, they still use quite a bit, and they want to use him well. And I think the coaching change is going to help the Browns here. So Duke Johnson is one of their more talented players. He's got a back injury, practicing in full. He'll be playing this week. You look at Royce Freeman of the Broncos, got that high ankle sprain reportedly, so it's going to be a lot more Philip Lindsay and Devontae Booker in the game against the Texans this week. Theo Riddick, we'll see if he can come back and be a contributor. This does hurt the value of Kerryon Johnson, who already has a tough matchup there against the Vikings on the road. So really can't traditionally run. Johnson has been getting a little bit more run in the passing game with Riddick out, so that could really cut into what Johnson can do, and I really don't like Johnson this week, and this is another reason beyond the matchup to do so. Kareem Hunt has a knee injury, popped up a little bit surprising, but Browns' run defense is really worn down. They give a big game to James Conner. Hunt is the same type of physical runner and can do things in the passing game. So you expect a big game for Kareem Hunt this week. Melvin Gordon, we'll have to watch that hamstring. It's tricky. We know, as Leonard Fournette observers here, that it's been very difficult week in and week out to go with what we see with Leonard Fournette and wholly trusting him. So hopefully this is not that type of issue here for what we're seeing for Melvin Gordon. If not Austin Eckler, I would bump up a little bit, but Seattle's pretty good there against those satellite type backs, so hopefully Melvin Gordon can go in this game and be fine. Come later in the week, he'll get some good practice, and then we're all feeling really good about his status, and it's not developing another Fournette situation, which would be terrible because he's been one of those guys in the first round that really come through, along with Saquon Barkley and Hunt and Christian McCaffrey there in the first round. Kenny Drake is a guy that we really liked as a sleeper there early, and now he's really come on strong here. A lot of things have worked back in his favor. Frank Gore's old, once they don't want to put too much volume on him, but no changes there in terms of other things the backfield. Kalen Ballage, and also the wide receivers are hurting. Albert Wilson, they were kind of using him on the gadget, receiving plays and all that, and the Jarvis Landry role. But Kenny Drake, he kind of has to be more of that guy now with Wilson down with that hip injury. Kenny Stills not playing either, so that downfield element of the passing game is gone. Drake has seemed to respond better with Osweiler in there as quarterback. So Drake, with the shoulder, we're a little concerned, but he's practicing in full, and I think the volume is going to be there. Had a 2-touchdown game last time out. I feel good about that against the Jets to continue. Dalvin Cook is probably not going to return here as the hamstring injury was limited practice. They do have a bye, so it makes sense, like in the Leonard Fournette situation. We don't want Gordon to develop in this situation where they're just going to hold him out and have him fully healthy and give him that extra week to totally heal and return. Now, we'll have to see about Sonny Michel here for the Patriots. Looking at Michel there, it's a knee injury that's tricky. We're a little optimistic that he could return with his limited practice, but we have to still see what's going on. You look at this situation, I think you kind of have to avoid Kenyon Barner totally. It's a James White all the way in this backfield now. And it's all crazy how it's turned into such a James White situation with things that have developed with other backs there, including Rex Burkhead and Michelle, that James White is now the man. And that's maybe the steal of the year there. Other than Patrick Mahomes at quarterback, James White has to be up there. Now, you look at the Buccaneers. Peyton Barber has the ankle injury. He's kind of playing through it. He's fine. He's going to play in Carolina. Tough matchup this week. I would avoid even Ronald Jones, not in the mix with a hamstring injury. Going to be out a little while. The volume might be there for Barber, but it's not something that I'm really leaning toward this week. Now, we look at our next team that we look at running backs. We'll close with wide receivers and tight ends here after we talk to Tyler Lochner. But we have one more at running back. Adrian Peterson didn't practice there. He should be fine to play against Atlanta. It's a good matchup, even with Grady Jarrett back. That the volume is there for Peterson. He's been delivering. And Chris Thompson may not play in this game as well, so that helps Peterson with the ribs injury. He got knocked out of last week's game after coming back. So not looking good for Chris Thompson. Didn't practice. Capri Bibbs has a shoulder injury as well, so he's been limited there, so maybe they need a little bit more Peterson, which is good for what we've seen. So before we talk to Tyler here and bring him on, we're trying to help you win a lot of money here in DFS, and that's what Tyler's going to do with his great advice there, straight from Pro Football Focus and the analysis there for FanDuel DraftKings. Well, once you win that money, you want to put it to good use. And one thing you have to say is how much money that we pay for brand name clothes. It's just crazy. And think about it also buying it for children when kids' clothes, you look at that, they outgrow them so fast. You spend such a fortune on them, and in a few months, they're done. But wouldn't it be great if there was a place where you could discover awesome discounts on gently used clothes? Where good news for you, there is. It's swap.com, the world's largest online consignment and thrift store. Why drive to store after store, sifting through racks? Easily sift through millions of clothes in seconds on swap.com with easy-to-use filters to find just what you need. And you can also feel great about shopping at swap.com because over 14 million tons of textiles are wasted each year. Shopping secondhand at swap.com helps prevent textile waste from polluting the environment, which is something you can feel very good about in these times. And with swap.com, you're also going to save 90% off retail price on your favorite brands such as Lululemon, Carter's, Nike, J.Crew, and Gap. And there are quality, hand-inspected items added to swap.com daily. And if something doesn't fit that you've ordered from swap.com, enjoy fast, hassle-free returns within 30 days. And there's a special offer now for listeners of Locked On Fantasy Football. Get 35% off select items for your first order with the promo code Locked On. That's 35% on top of that up to 90% savings on those name brands. Select items for your first order with that promo code Locked On. And if you go to swap.com's homepage, you'll find new deals every day that you can also take advantage of. So enter that promo code Locked On at swap.com and get in and really do something good and save some money with swap.com, the world's largest online consignment and thrift store. When we get back, Tyler Lochner of Pro Football Focus will join us here. Joining me now, as he always does here for Lineup Focused on Thursdays, for some DFS-focused advice for Week 9 now. Hard to believe, is Tyler Lochner of Pro Football Focus. How's it going, Tyler?
Hey, Vinny, I'm doing great. It's crazy to know that it's already November. Like you said, we're in the second half of the season, but still plenty of football left to be played. And we're in the thick of the bye week, so figuring out what to do is always to get through the bye weeks is always tricky, and it adds a new element to the game.
Yeah, now you have the 16 bye, the dreaded 16 bye, and I see a lot of lineups that are empty, and in DFS that shrinks the pool here, especially in the main slate, to 10 games. And we'll start with looking at the quarterbacks like we do always. We'll start with Cam Newton here. He's at 8,600 and 6,600. He's playing the Buccaneers this week. The Buccaneers have just been money there for opposing quarterbacks. Cam Newton has kind of flown on the radar, delivered really consistently in cash games. Do you kind of like him this week to continue that? And is he worth paying up for?
Yeah, I do like Newton. I think I've said this multiple times. I always try to pay down a quarterback. So Newton's probably more of a tournament, or I like to pay down a quarterback in cash games. So Newton's probably more of a tournament guy. But if you've got the extra cash this week, and it's actually not that hard to find some extra cash, I don't hate Newton in cash. It's really hard to see a scenario in which he doesn't blow up against the Buccaneers, who've given up the most fantasy points per drop back, second most total fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks this year. Here, these two puzzle pieces kind of match. The Buccaneers have given up 0.64 fantasy points per drop back to quarterbacks, and Newton has scored 0.62 fantasy points per drop back. So he's been playing at a really high clip, and if anything, that's his floor this week, and he obviously has a much higher ceiling.
Yeah, definitely, and the matchups are good across the board for his wide receivers and tight end Greg Olsen there. Now the game of the week that we're looking at, I think it's been teetering at that 60 over-under, is the Saints hosting the Rams. Now, Drew Brees, I was looking at these prices that they're very similarly priced there on both sites. Drew Brees, I think, is a little bit more expensive, but 8,400 on FanDuel, 6,100, 6,000 is the separation there.
I feel like I'm going Breeze in this one just because he's at home. And I think we've seen this before in shootouts where I always like to take Drew Breeze at home versus the guy that's going to be working against him on the other side.
Yeah, I don't think you can go wrong either way here. If you have the extra 100 on DraftKings, I would probably go with Breeze as well, simply because he is at home. And I actually think the Saints are favored in this game. I might be wrong there.
Yeah, they are.
So to me, that's kind of strange. I mean, the Rams are rolling in with this unstoppable offense. They're undefeated. But in any event, home quarterbacks who are favored are always good. And we know that Breeze is always good at home. But with that said, Goff has been playing very well. Breeze, the Saints offense has shown with Mark Ingram back that they are willing to go with kind of a run heavy approach. And we saw last week, even though the Saints were kind of blowing out the Vikings at points of the game, Breeze only had 120 passing yards. He's now thrown for fewer than 220 passing yards in three of his last four games. So if there's reason to go with Goff, it's because Breeze's recent game log has not been amazing. But with that said, this game is a 60-point over-under in this Superdome. Breeze, I mentioned that he's thrown for fewer than 220 passing yards in three of his last four games. All three of those games were on the road. His last game at home, he threw for 363 yards and three touchdowns. So, like you said, in the Superdome, Breeze can't be stopped. And with the 60 points expected to be scored, Goff is going to get his as well. So I'd probably differentiate between the two if I'm making multiple lineups. But if I'm making just one lineup, I'd go with Breeze.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Then looking at a guy, maybe by the numbers, when you look at it on these fantasy points allowed charts, the Seahawks have allowed the fewest to quarterbacks. Case Keenum had a big game in week one. Otherwise, it's been kind of quiet against his defense. But Philip Rivers here, he's been consistent, maddeningly consistent every week. Two TDs like that coming off the bye here. Some pretty good matchups for his wide receivers. 8,5600. How are you feeling about Rivers this week?
I'm probably not going to go with him in cash. You mentioned the Seahawks defense giving up the fewest fantasy points, and there are just other quarterbacks who are in great spots. I mean, we just talked about Rivers or Breeze and Goff. But with that said, I really like Rivers in tournaments. I would expect his ownership to be 2%, maybe 3%. And as you mentioned, he's been playing at a high level, multiple touchdowns in every game. His volume has been a little bit all over the place. He's thrown for fewer than 30 passes in each of his last three games, but then he's got a couple games with, you know, 40 passes, one game with 50 passes. So I like Rivers in tournaments because he's going to be low owned, and games against Seattle, while they have given up the fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks so far this year, this might be a little bit too much of a narrative streak for me, especially as a pure analytics guy, but we've seen in recent years that in the second half of the year, Russell Wilson and Seattle's offense start scoring a lot more points than they did in the first half of the year. So this is a game that I think has sneaky shootout potential.
Yeah, definitely. And you look at Rivers, he's always a gamer and he's going to fight through it. If he throws an interception, he's going to still keep throwing and fight in this game. So there's that with him, and there's no danger there with the volume probably in this one. And you look at Ryan Fitzpatrick there on the other side of that Cam Newton matchup. I know people are flocking to Ryan Fitzpatrick. I get it, what this Buccaneers offense can do, but he's just extremely hard to trust for me in either cash games or tournaments this week.
I know it's you never feel great about seeing his name in your lineup, but I don't hate it. I mean, we have to kind of look at the facts, which are that Fitzpatrick was unbelievable in the first three games of the year. And that included two games against pretty good defenses, the Eagles and Steelers. He came in and played, I forget how much he played last week, most of the second half maybe, but threw two touchdowns. He completed another 70-plus yard touchdown pass. This offense just really seems to fit what Fitzpatrick is able to do, especially with the weapons they have. So I don't hate him. I really don't hate rolling him out. I do think there are some other quarterbacks I like a little bit better. But, I mean, he threw for over 400 yards and over three touchdowns in the three full games he's played. And he was on pace to do it again in the game he substituted in for Winston. So, yeah, it's weird to say, but I like Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, he's a guy that definitely just because of the offense he's in. And we like Jameis Winston a lot, so that makes sense to like Ryan Fitzpatrick going forward, just because a team that's thrown a lot and doesn't have good defense. So that's how we have to look at it there, the situation as much as the player. Now we move on to running back here. Now Kenyon Drake, he's no longer in the doghouse for fantasy owners. In year-long, he's been doing a lot of things here. And I think what's really helped is not having Albert Wilson in there and not having Kenny Stills in there. They need playmakers, guys that can go in the open field and do things. And Drake certainly can do that. 6,900 and 5,300, pretty good pricing for Drake. And I kind of really like him this week at home against the Jets.
Man, he is so good at football. I wish more than anything that he saw more work. I know that Frank Gore is good, but Drake is just amazing. But it's a great matchup at home against the Jets. Like you mentioned, the Jets have given up the 10th most fantasy points per touch to opposing running backs. And over the past 2 weeks, Drake has scored the 7th most fantasy points at the position. He's averaging over 90 total yards a game, and he scored a touchdown in each of the last two games. He actually had two last week, and he scored a touchdown in 3 of his last 4. His target volume wasn't super high last week. He had just 2 targets, but in the 3 previous games, he had 8 targets, 6 targets, and 11 targets, which is very, very, very good target volume, especially on the full point PPR side on DraftKings. So I do like Drake. He's got a good matchup. He's at home, and he's still not super expensive. This is a guy who would be in the 7,000 price range if he was seeing 20 touches a game. And instead, he's seeing 12 to 15 pretty consistently, but he's a high efficiency player. So even though he's not seeing a ton of touches, he does a lot of damage with them.
Yeah. Another guy right around that price range. And it looks like Dalvin Cook is probably going to be out just because of the bye week coming up, the hamstring. They don't want to rush him back. Latavius Murray at 6,700, 5,100 going against that, easy money Lions run defense. Damon Harrison didn't really help too much last week against Chris Carson, the Seahawks. So he's a guy that you just lock in cash games, knowing the matchup and the volume.
Yeah, I don't know how to get away from Murray in cash games, at least in my lineups that I've built so far. He's got 4 touchdowns in his last 3 games in that span. So basically for the last month, Murray has been a top 10 fantasy running back. He's been a top 10 running back every single week for the last 3 weeks. And you mentioned it, he's got another good matchup this week against the Lions. It's at home. The Lions have given up the 6th most fantasy points per touch to opposing running backs. And Murray is playing, he's playing it at an elite clip. He's averaged over 4.3 yards per carry, which is not incredible, but he's not the 3.0 or 3.5 yard per carry runner that he was the first 5 weeks of the season while kind of in a change of pace role. Now that he's the lead back, he's averaging a good amount. He's got runs of over 30 yards in 2 of his last 3 games, so we know he has big playability. And then last week we saw him collect 6 targets, which is great. I don't know if we can expect him to collect that many targets every week. But to know that he's starting to be used more in the passing game, especially when Minnesota is trying to catch up, is a big bonus. And then obviously he gets the goal line work. So at only 5,100 on DraftKings, 6,700 on FanDuel, a guy who's a very good chance to score a touchdown and is playing well against a good offense or against a bad defense at home, yeah, he checks all the boxes.
Now I have a good toss up for you because this is a similar price on FanDuel, exactly the same price, 6,500, 5,200 on DraftKings, and 4,700 for Lamar Miller and Chris Carson. Very similar situations, mobile quarterbacks, bad pass protecting offensive lines, but very good run blocking lines, high volume players now, nobody really else in the mix. Lamar Miller facing a Broncos defense on the road that has been very vulnerable against the run, and the Chargers are not necessarily a shutdown kind of unit against the run either. So Lamar Miller or Chris Carson, if you had to pair a guy, say with Murray or Drake, who would you use?
I would for sure go with Lamar Miller in tournaments, and I would probably go with Lamar Miller on FanDuel, but on DraftKings, I would take the $500 in savings and go with Chris Carson. I do think just straight up, these guys are very close to each other. But on DraftKings, for Carson. I like Miller everywhere else. I like Miller on FanDuel. I like Miller in tournaments. You mentioned it. He's got that matchup against the Broncos, who have given up some massive games to opposing running backs. I mean, back-to-back weeks earlier this year with 200 yards given up. And then Miller has gone for over 100 yards in each of his last two games, and he's got a touchdown in that span as well. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that Deshaun Watson's banged up a little bit. He's not running the ball as much. Now Will Fuller is unfortunately injured. So if anything, Miller's role in the passing game is going to grow. So yeah, Miller is definitely a great play. Carson on DraftKings, he does save you $500 in salary. He's gone for over 100 yards in three of his last four games, and his touch volume, he's had at least 20 touches in three of his last four games as well. So Carson, like you mentioned, is also a high volume guy who's hitting that 100 yard barrier and seeing most of the goal line work, not all the goal line work. So give me Miller on FanDuel and in tournaments, but give me Carson on DraftKings cash.
Now, as we move on to wide receiver here, here's a guy I think could be a bit contrarian just because he's been a little quiet of late. He started off with a bang here, but Antonio Brown is going to stolen the thunder. He's got the same price on both formats, FanDuel and DraftKings this week, 7,200, Juju Smith-Schuster. And the Ravens, their secondary is very banged up going in this game. Marlon Humphrey's probably going to miss another game here. A lot of things to the inside here, and I think with the Brown getting all the attention, maybe from this Ravens secondary, that it opens things up not only for Juju Smith-Schuster, but Vance McDonald this week.
Yeah, I definitely think Smith-Schuster will be a contrarian play. You mentioned it. This Baltimore defense is pretty tough. The Ravens, actually, they're very tough. Let me correct myself there. The Pittsburgh Steelers are going on the road, so naturally people – by now, everyone knows about Ben's home road splits. It's a divisional game. There's a lot of things that aren't in Pittsburgh's favor here. But you mentioned it, that makes it a very good time to pounce on Juju. When he's been quiet recently because he hasn't had quite as much target volume. He had six targets last week. He had four targets three games ago. But wedged in between there, he had a 10-target game, and he went off for 111 yards. He's got 10 plus targets in four of seven games so far this year. Most of that came in the first half of the year. So he is a positive regression candidate in terms of target volume in that offense. And he also has just one touchdown in his last five games. So he's a positive regression candidate for touchdowns as well. I would not be playing Smith-Schuster in cash games. I just think there are better matchups to target. But in tournaments, I would expect him to be very low owned, probably under 5%, which is tough to find for a player like Smith-Schuster. And his pricing has come down a few hundred bucks since where it was in the middle of the season as well. So you're getting him at a bit of a discount.
Well, assuming he plays here, here's another guy that I've circled here. Is Cooper Kupp, 6,800, 6,000. When you look at the matchups there for the Saints, you're trying to find out who's going to be on who with the Rams. And you look at Brandon Cooks might get the toughest matchup. Robert Woods now maybe being more in that regular outside role. Maybe he gets Eli Apple, who's a little bit burnable. But and Cooper Kupp is probably going to get that P.J. Williams cake matchup here on his return. Is Kupp kind of where you're going with the Rams receiver at those price points?
All three Rams receivers are on my radar, but Cooper Kupp is my favorite. I'm not sure if people will be on him yet or not because of his injury. You know, he missed last week. It sounds like he's going to play this week. I don't really have a good read on that. If I think he's going to be pretty low owned, I'm going to want to be really overweight on the field, especially in tournaments, but also in cash games. You mentioned it. He's going to see a lot of PJ Williams, who I think won NFC Defensive Player of the Week last week for his interception return, but he was absolutely shredded through the air by Minnesota's receivers. He gave up eight catches on nine targets for two touchdowns and over 100 yards, which has been happening all year. PJ Williams, he's given up five touchdowns in coverage now in the year, and Cooper Kupp has been a touchdown machine. He's got five touchdowns himself through six games. So I do like Kupp at that price point, and I would expect his ownership to be lower than normal because people know he's injured. They don't like the questionable tag. He's been limited to practice, yada, yada, yada. So I like Kupp. I'm highlighting him in a couple articles this week. I definitely think he's a strong play. I just don't have a good read on whether or not other people will be playing him as well. But I guess I guess more people will probably be on it now.
Yeah, hopefully that's what we want. We want the people listening to this podcast to be a little bit smarter than the rest of everyone else. So that's good. And one guy I'm looking at, and we mentioned Philip Rivers a little bit as a contrarian now, Mike Williams. He's just been disappointing of late. But you look at this matchup, it's pretty darn good for him here. And you figure coming off the bye, they want to get him a little bit more involved. But 5,400 on FanDuel, 3,800 at DraftKings. I kind of like him as a pairing with Rivers in a tournament.
Yes, I love Mike Williams paired with Rivers in a tournament. I've got a tournament, FanDuel tournament guide coming out on Friday, and this is one of the pairs that I'm highlighting. Everyone obviously is all over Tyrell Williams right now, right? He's got the exact same stat lines in back-to-back weeks, like 118 yards, multiple touchdowns in that span, and he's doing it on long bombs. But the thing is, Mike Williams can do the exact same thing. We saw him do it earlier in the year with long touchdowns in weeks 2 and 3. And in the past few weeks, when Mike Williams has been a little bit more quiet while Tyrell the Gazelle has gone crazy, Williams is still running about 80% of the pass routes in Los Angeles. So his role in the offense has not been reduced. Tyrell Williams has just been making big plays. We did see Mike Williams make a big play last week, or 2 weeks ago, I guess, on Los Angeles's last game. He had a 55-yard touchdown catch. So we know that he's capable of those big plays. We know that Rivers has been slinging it downfield. And we saw last week Marvin Jones, Detroit's deep threat, he had 2 touchdowns and went for over 100 yards against the Seattle defense. So a lot of these pieces are matching for me. I really, really like Williams in GPPs. He's also very cheap, and he gives you a lot of salary relief as well.
Well, we'll end wide receiver with a quick toss-up for you. We have two exciting rookies, a lot of speed, excitement. They're both playing at home. One is really starting to get going here, DJ Moore with the Panthers, 5,300, 4,300. And right there around the same price is Tre'Quan Smith, 5,100 and 4,200. Now, Tre'Quan Smith was very quiet, had a good spot there against the Vikings. The game flow kind of hurt the Saints throwing in that game, really hurt him and Michael Thomas. But at home, I think he could rebound here. So Moore or Smith, who would you go with if you're going for that big play rookie shot this week?
I'm going to go with DJ Moore. That answer might surprise some people, I guess, because of how attractive that Rams-Saints game is. But Moore's role in Carolina's offense is growing and has been growing all year, whereas Tre'Quan Smith kind of seems stuck in that 3 to 4 target range. He's a deep threat. Obviously, he's a threat to score, especially in such a high-scoring game. But I think Moore's role is more secure in Carolina. His role even expanded last week in a tough matchup against the Ravens. Moore led the team in targets, receptions, and yards. And then he also collects a few carries a game. He had 2 carries for 39 yards last week. And he's added at least one carry in most games he's played, and they often go for 10 plus yards. So he collects a few extra fantasy points there. And then obviously Moore has the pristine matchup against the Buccaneers secondary. Overall, DJ Moore has the fifth best individual wide receiver cornerback matchup of the week. That's according to PFF's wide receiver cornerback matchup chart. So Moore, I like him here. And honestly, it's not that close. I'll probably have some Tre'Quan Smith in GPPs, but I'm probably going to be overweight of the field on DJ Moore.
No,
DJ Moore is a player who a lot more people will know his name in a few weeks. So if you want to be early on him before his price really starts to rise, now's the time to do it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask, is he's a guy that maybe is transitioning more and more to that top target in Carolina. So that's something to keep in mind. And year long, you should be excited about him as well going forward. Now, tight end, it seems like we asked this week or this every week about the strategy of tight end. Do we pay up there? And now Zach Ertz is now in the mix. So one of our favorite cash game tight ends. The money in the bank, the one guy that's standing out of this position is out, but Travis Kelce is still in. Now, do you kind of say, is this pretty much a situation where you want to go with like a Kelce, someone safe in your cash games, 7,600, 6,600 this week, and then maybe try to find that shot play guy that like Greg Olsen or OJ Howard, a pretty good matchup in the same game. How do you kind of play that strategy?
I think I've mentioned this before. It's always tricky for me to know exactly what to do at the tight end position. I do often find myself paying up just because it hurts so much when you try to swing for the fence, or when you try to go cheap at the tight end position and you just end up with 5 or 6 points in your lineup. It can really hurt your lineup. And with Travis Kelce, you're guaranteed to get double digit points at a minimum. He was a positive touchdown regression candidate leading into last week, and he scored last week with double digit targets again. I would expect his touchdown production to continue to trend up in the right direction. He has 4 touchdown receptions this year, but Kansas City's scoring over 30 points every game. Cleveland is pretty strong against the pass, generally speaking, and that includes against tight ends. So it's not an amazing matchup for Kelce, especially because the game's on the road. And there are some cheaper tight ends that I will probably go to in cash games this week other than Kelce. So I do not think I will be playing Kelce in my cash lineups, but I do love him in tournaments. He's probably my favorite tournament tight end. He just has such a high ceiling, and it's really not that hard for him to access it.
Yeah, and you talked about the points that you could be disappointed with, and there was 2 guys that put up a big zero in great, what we thought were great matchups on paper. CJ Uzuma was one. David Njoku was another one. Now, I feel like Njoku, this offensive change is going to be good for him. They're going to say, no, there's no way our rookie quarterback should throw to David Njoku one time in the end zone the entire game. And I think that's going to help him. So maybe everyone's going to be off. They're going to look at that zero. He's extremely cheap, 5,200, 4,600. Do you go down that well again, hoping that there's some overcorrection this week against a very good matchup against the Chiefs?
Yeah, the Chiefs have given up the 5th most fantasy points to opposing tight ends this year. It was technically even a better matchup last week. I don't know what happened. I honestly wouldn't read too much into it. That coaching staff, they're no longer there. So I don't really have much more to say other than they weren't good. And I would contribute a lot of Cleveland's struggles on offense to coaching. And Njoku, his 0 target game is just mind-blowing, especially because the 4 previous weeks he had 7 targets, 10 targets, 12 targets, 6 targets. He had over 50 yards in every single one of those games. He was coming off touchdowns in 2 straight games, and then he gets blanked against a Pittsburgh defense that's vulnerable to tight ends. A new coach, a fresh feel in Cleveland, they know that Njoku's a great player. They're going to use him in this matchup. So yeah, he's a very good bounce back candidate for me, especially because Cleveland's going to have to throw probably a little bit more often than usual to keep pace with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. So I'm not afraid to go back to Njoku, even in cash games. Maybe I'm crazy there for not being more afraid of the zero, but I'm not afraid of it.
Yeah. I mean, chasing box scores goes both ways. You don't want to chase the guy with the big game and then look at a matchup that doesn't work, but it also, you don't, negative regression chasing the zero and saying, okay, he's going to do that again. I think you have to look at each week differently, and I think that's a very good point. And now we'll close with a look at the defense. Now, I'm staring at the Bears, and I'm looking at this matchup against Nathan Peterman, 5,400. You have to pay to get him, 5,400, 4,100. Now, do you go there, or do you go to the mid-tier? I look at the Vikings in that mid-tier, 4,100, 2,900, and then all the way at the bottom, Broncos, 3,400 and 2,300. Now, how do you kind of play it out? Do you think the Bears are totally worth it this week?
All right, I have a question for you. Who does Nathan Peterman throw more touchdowns to this week? Buffalo Bills players or Chicago Bears players?
I think it's going to be pretty close. We'll see if Khalil Mack plays, and that could play a little factor in this, because Khalil Mack will probably catch one of those and return it the other way. But when we look at it,
that's a real question. It's crazy that you actually have to think about that, because it's totally possible that he throws more touchdowns to the Bears. If Khalil Mack plays, I think the Bears defense is a smash play. The only thing that isn't the best about it is it's in Buffalo. It's not at home, but still, Nathan Peterman is so bad. He doesn't belong on an NFL field at all, and now he's going up against the best defense. And even though the Bears defense is priced up, they're not out of reach, especially this week. There's some very good value plays. I know we talked about a lot of them. One player we didn't talk about, I know we don't always want to talk about the obvious names, but Cortland Sutton is available. He's very cheap at wide receiver. We talked about DJ Moore. Like, you can get a lot of very cheap players in your lineup this week, and it's really not that hard to access the Bears defense. With that said, it means they're going to be very popular. So if you want to be, if you want to get off of the popular defense because you know that defense is volatile, then there's nothing wrong with that. The Bears defense, they're a great play, though. There's really no getting around this fact. But from a game theory perspective, you can differentiate your defense. You know it's a volatile position. There are some other defenses in good spots. But, yeah, I don't know what to say. I mean, Bears defense versus Nathan Peterman, it kind of speaks for itself there.
Yeah, it looks like this week, pretty good week for that stars and scrubs mentality. And maybe mm-hmm. pay at certain positions like quarterback and defense, and maybe get one of those stud wide receivers in your lineup, and then you can kind of find values elsewhere pretty much across the board.
Yeah, and then you mentioned a couple other defenses. The Vikings defense, I do like them at home against Matthew Stafford and the Lions, now without Golden Tate. So much of that Lions passing attack was directed towards those top three players, Golladay, Tate, and Marvin Jones. And without Tate there, it's going to be an interesting dynamic. I don't know if I would play them in cash games just because Stafford hasn't been consistently throwing interceptions as much as he really used to. But in tournaments, the Vikings are a big play. They've scored double-digit fantasy points in three of their last four games, which is obviously very attractive for fantasy. And then you mentioned the Broncos. They're a very cheap defense at home against the banged up Houston Texans offense, who are now lacking Will Fuller. So their big play threat isn't what it used to be. Deshaun Watson's not running as much. I know he threw 5 touchdowns last week, but overall recently that offense has not been pouring on the points the way that a lot of us expected to. So I will be targeting the Broncos defense a lot in cash games. If my lineup warrants it. You know, we just talked about how this is a very interesting week from lineup construction standpoint. But if you are looking to save at the defense position, the Broncos are probably my number one target there.
All right, there we have it. I think we went a little longer than usual on this segment, but a lot of good information out there. And it's a key week. It's bye week, so maybe you're not doing as well in year long. You want to start pivoting to DFS and start getting into it more. But this is a good time to do it. And Tyler, we're happy to have your insight here. Tell everyone where they can get more of your stuff there at Pro Football Focus.
Yeah, so on Thursday, I've got my DraftKings cash guide coming out. And then on Friday, I've got my FanDuel tournament guide. And on Saturday, I have my locks of the week. A couple of the players we talked about today will be highlighted in these articles, but there are many other players as well who you can get some notes, news and notes on. So be sure to check those out, and good luck in week 9, everybody.
All right. Thanks, Tyler. We'll talk to you next week, and good luck in your games this week.
Thanks so much. You too.
Well, now let's close the show here, looking at the rest of the injuries there at wide receiver, tight end, and one kicker of note that we have to talk about here. So to get you going into the weekend, so you know everything there, a good hit with there with Tyler. So some things here that are going to affect your DFS lineups that we're going to monitor for the rest of the week. Mohamed Sanu, getting closer to being fully healthy. He's got the hip injury. He's going to play. We'll have to see about the slot issues there in Washington, if Sanu can take advantage of that, but he should be available this week. Torrey Smith probably going to miss another game for the Panthers as a knee injury. Allen Robinson missed last week with a groin for the Bears. It's not looking good early in this week, and if he would play, he gets Tre'Davious White. So I'm really off Robinson in year-long and DFS this week. So this is an injury update to note. If he can't play, then it's Taylor Gabriel, who had a knee injury and was limited in practice early in the week. That would really be bad, because then Taylor Gabriel is probably going to get the shadow of Tre'Davious White, and then you don't really have much trickle down from there. I don't know if you're going to trust Anthony Miller on the road there against the Bills, a pretty good pass defense. Now, Rashad Higgins, we're waiting for him to come back, because I think he could have an impact on this Browns offense. Outside with Jarvis Landry struggling, Antonio Callaway struggling, but didn't practice this week. He's not coming back.
Deshaun Hamilton is your new Browns number three or Broncos number three receiver with Demaryius Thomas traded to the team they're playing this week, the Texans. He's behind Cortland Sutton and Emmanuel Sanders, though. Knee not practicing, probably not going to play this week. You have the trio there of Geronimo Allison, Randall Cobb, hamstring, and then Equanimeous Brown, a knee. They're all going to play here, limited with the practice there, but they're all going to play. It's just really hard to trust in the pecking order. I really like Marquez Valdes-Scantling a little bit more than all three of these guys behind Davante Adams in that particular matchup, away from Stephon Gilmore. Now, you look at the Texans, DeAndre Hopkins, foot, early week, limited. That's been the routine. He's good to go. Kiki Kuti, we're going to have to watch that hamstring all the way, but Demaryius Thomas and Kuti, I would just kind of fade both of them this week. Now, Tyreek Hill, we were worried about the growing, but it looks like he's going to play. Looked good in practice, going full for the Chiefs, so full speed ahead and great matchup against Cleveland this week. You look at Cooper Kupp, he looks like he's going to return. We talked about him, and we'll have to watch it all week. They had a walkthrough only there on Wednesday, and the Rams did, so we have to see him actually do some practice things, but we should feel good about Kupp playing. Kenny Stills, as we mentioned, not a good go here. With a growing injury, Jakeem Grant has an Achilles, so he could see a little bit more targets, but still Danny Amendola is the guy I'm looking at more there. Stephon Diggs had this ribs injury that we're a little bit concerned about there for the Vikings. He couldn't get on the practice field, so we have to watch it. Maybe a flak jacket, he's going to have to see if he can play here against the Lions. But for now, I would feel okay about that because it's not something that typically you miss time with. Now, Julian Edelman has an ankle injury, so we'll have to see, monitor that all week. Probably just sore from Monday Night Football. But he should be playing there against Green Bay. Josh Gordon, hamstring has always been on the injury report, but he's always keep playing. I think he can do a little bit more damage in this matchup this week. We look at Michael Thomas has a shoulder injury. You think he'll play through it against the Rams. You'll get that Marcus Peters matchup, which is not as dangerous as you think anymore. Robbie Anderson, Quincy Nuno are probably down again for this Dolphins game. We'll see if we'll see if Deontay Burnett sees a little bit more action or Jermaine Kearse. So not really much I want to see there with the Jets. Doug Baldwin kind of being limited here. He's playing a lot of snaps here, limited with the knee injury. If he's not fully healthy, I'm not feeling it too much with Tyler Lockett, David Moore coming on there at wide receiver for Seattle. So he's not a must start by any means. Mike Evans, a little bit of a concern with a knee injury, not practicing. We'll have to watch this one carefully. They want him to play, but obviously they're not going to take a risk with their franchise wide receiver with their season kind of starting to fall apart. But we have to watch that in Carolina because it really could affect how we feel about Ryan Fitzpatrick and all the other weapons there in Tampa Bay. Jamison Crowder, Paul Richardson, these guys you're not trusting. Ankle for Crowder, Richardson. Shoulder and knee injury still lingering here. I don't really like either this week anyway against the Falcons, so go away from the Redskins receivers. Greg Olsen playing through the foot. He's fine. He's looked good, and it's a great matchup this week against Tampa, so lock him in there for sure. David Njoku had that zero last week, but he's going to play through the knee injury. We expect a little bit of course correction here, as we talked about in DFS. Jimmy Graham, knee. Had the limited designation there. He's going to play against the Patriots. I think he has a good chance to score in this particular game, so keep that in mind. Ryan Griffin returning there. It's notable, so no more Jordan Thomas love probably if he's there, and he could be a little deep sleeper this week. Travis Kelce with the shoulder injury is going to keep going and playing against the Browns here. The Browns can be exploited. We love him here in DFS, especially in tournaments, as Tyler told us some good advice there. AJ Derby, guy that is returning. We know the Dolphins have tried to throw a little bit more to the tight end with Brock Osweiler, whether it's Mike Gesicki or Nick O'Leary. So both of those guys are a little bit limited by maybe a dart throw tight end with Derby returning. Rob Gronkowski at the ankle and the back, limited. He still looks not 100%, but he's going to keep playing. Jacob Hollister still not a factor with the hamstring injury. He's not playing. And we look at Jordan Reed, neck injury. Wow, he's just been a major disappointment. Really overpriced on DFS ahead of Greg Olsen this week. He's going to play against Atlanta, but do you really trust him against a team, even though it's a team that's given up a little bit to the tight end? And speaking of Atlanta, this is the one kicker update we have as our kicker, our closer for the week. It's Matt Bryant with the right groin injury. So we'll see if Matt Bryant can play if not, it's going to be Georgia Tavecchio. Had a big, big game last week there, and it's a little bit tougher because it's not at home. Washington elements can be a little tougher to kick in. Tavecchio was pretty good and strong in the dome, so we hope for some better things there. If you have to replace Bryant, I think you just go to his direct replacement this week. So there you have it. There's a look at all the wide receiver and tight end injuries. We went over quarterback and running back earlier, and then kicker with that Bryant situation. Everyone else there is healthy at that position, including Caleb Sturgis returning there for the Chargers. So that's a snapshot of everything you need to know, a DFS pricing, DFS values, injuries that can affect both FanDuel, DraftKings lineups, and what you're looking at year-long. And that's how we do it. This is the Fantasy Football Progressive here on Locked On Fantasy Football. Get you through 1 week to the next. And thanks again to Tyler Lochner for joining us and giving us his insight on DFS. And reminder, if you missed anything, check out those old podcasts. They're available here to get you all set for week number 9. Other than that, good luck in all your games this week, and we'll talk to you to kick off next week for week 10.